Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the start of this item is going to sound a little bit different because we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence chatbots. And you might have seen this in recent weeks. A new platform, ChatGPT, has been hugely popular online. Basically, you give the app an instruction to write a certain thing and it uses artificial intelligence to create it. So obviously, this is presenting huge questions for academia, like essays and coursework, and literature, if the bots can eventually write entire books. That is the question. And we're joined now to discuss this by Professor Alan Smeaton, who's an expert in the field from the Insight Centre for Data Analytics at DCU. Alan, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Explain how this works, the computer software. How does it create what you ask it to create?
So, good morning, Claire. So, typically, the applications of artificial intelligence have been predicting or classifying things. So, we know about if we show a picture, we can detect whether there's a face there or not, or whether it's a particular individual, or in medical applications, we can detect things like tumors. Or in self-driving cars, we can detect the difference between a stop sign and a pedestrian. And this software is built upon tons and tons of training data, where we say, this is a pedestrian, this is not a pedestrian, and eventually the computer learns the difference between the two. Now, a few years ago, researchers turned this round and said, well, if the computer knows what something is, and I say knows in inverted commas, then maybe it's able to generate new versions of the same thing. And probably the best example of this is with images, where a group of researchers in France took about 10,000 impressionist paintings and generated a new false synthetic one, which they then christened Edmond de Bellamy, and it looks just like an impressionist painting. And that was a breakthrough because it showed how AI systems could generate new stuff rather than just recognize the difference between one kind of stuff and another kind of stuff. Now, if we take that to text, what companies have been doing, the large internet companies, is that they've been gathering large corpuses of text, analyzing the patterns in those texts and using that to be able to predict what the next words in a sequence would be. And this is a lot of the basis for this is what we see in machine translation for one language to another. And most of the main companies, Google and Meta and Amazon, do this. But in 2015, there was a company founded called OpenAI. And its mission was to make artificial intelligence more openly available directly to the public. And it's received literally billions of dollars in investment from companies like Microsoft, but also from, in its founding stage, from people like Elon Musk. And what it does is they have gathered together a vast corpus of human-generated text crawled before 2021, and they've analyzed all that text to detect the patterns in those words. Now, we can say, therefore, that they've built a model of language, and these are called large language models. And they've configured it now into a version which acts like a chatbot. So given a prompt or a question, it will spew out text in the style and the format and on the topic of your prompt.
Yes, and I was playing around with this ChatGPT this morning and I asked it to write a lullaby for bedtime, and I'll give you part at least of what it gave me back. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Mama's going to sing you a lullaby. Close your eyes and go to sleep. Dream of sheep and counting sheep. Now, it's not great, Alan, is it?
No, that's not great. But the more you use it, the more it learns about the kind of prompts that come from Clare Byrne. And it will get better and better and better as it learns more and more about you.
So it gets to know me.
It gets to know your prompts. That's not to say it gets to know you. It just gets to know more of what you're looking for. Because it has this vast corpus of human-generated text. And it says you're looking for lullabies. So it picks out lullabies and it kicks out sheep and it picks out twinkle, twinkle and other kinds of things. And it puts them together in coherent text.
We asked it to write an introduction for this radio item for our conversation. We asked it to write less than 100 words. It wasn't great, and it gave us 150 words. I'll give you one of the lines here. Hello and welcome to our radio program. Today we'll be discussing the topic of artificial intelligence chatbots. So it's okay. It sort of gets the direction of travel, but again, yeah, it's not exactly what you would want.
Yeah, It's and as I said, the more you interact with it, the more specific you get with it. So if you were to go back to it and say, well, the audience is a national audience, do it again. OK, well, the specific topic of artificial intelligence is large language model. Do it again. So it would get better and better and better the more and more times you use it.
But that means that the users, Alan, has to put in a lot of work then to get the chatbot to work properly for you.
If you're looking for very precise, very accurate, then yes, it does require effort on the part of the user.
And who might be prepared to put in that effort?
Oh, anybody. The applications for this, we're currently playing with them. We're seeing the chatbot, because what OpenAI have done is that they've made this available to the public. I mean, anybody can rock on up, type in your email address, get a password, and you're starting to use it for free up to a certain limit. But in the background, you could imagine this being used in a host of other kinds of applications when it's provided as a service for a fee. This is to tempt us. This is to get us to use it and hype up the expectation and say, this is great. And that's exactly what's happening in the last month, because this was only released at the beginning of December. And within 5 days, they had 1 million users using it.
John Walsh in the Irish Independent today is writing about the challenge for universities when it comes to services writing essays for people who are in academic study. This is where this could be headed to.
Oh, this could be headed and will be headed in multiple directions, Claire, but this is one of those directions. And yeah, it was launched, as I said, the beginning of December, and we had some open book exams in our labs in I think it was about the 9th or the 10th of December, where the students are sitting in front of terminals or computers and are allowed to access the internet to look up information. And already there were some of them using ChatGPT, putting in the questions, getting what ChatGPT gave as the answers and using those as the starting point. Now, the lecturer in question was gobsmacked, as in, oh, this is so, I don't know what to do with this. Are they allowed to do this? There's no rules to say no. So we actually let them use ChatGPT in those exams. But that is one area where it could challenge us. But we've been here before in education. Technology, new technologies have constantly been challenging what is the norm in education. And if we go back to it, when handheld calculators were first introduced and made available, people thought, well, that's the demise of mathematics. When the internet was available, people thought, well, that's the demise of reading. When mobile phones were be available, then people thought, that's the demise. And essay mills, people thought, that's the demise. This is just the next big leap or big generation in artificial intelligence. And yes, it is a challenge to us in the educational sector to monitor it and use it appropriately.
Many thanks, Alan, for joining us on that. Professor Alan Smeaton, and we'll chat again, I am sure, about artificial intelligence and where it is heading.